In this episode of Podcast Tactics, you will learn how to create a powerful legacy podcast. What's a legacy podcast? Stick around. I can't wait for you to find out. Hello, I'm James, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Tactics. In today's show, you will meet a brother and sister who have created an inspiring and impactful podcast. Listen in to hear their story and learn how to create a podcast that celebrates and memorializes the life of a loved one. If you want more podcasting tips, tactics, and advice, join the mailing list at podcasttactics.com to get new episode notifications. Now, let's get into it. Joining me at the mic is Jamie Williams and John Hunt from Mexico, Missouri. Jamie and John, thank you so much for coming on and joining me on the show.
Thank you so much for having us. We're very excited.
What you're up to with your podcast is extremely special. What is the name of your podcast and what is it about?
The name of the podcast is A Long Time Going. And the way that it started was my brother was diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer 11 years ago. And he made it through a chemo fine. Everything was fine. And then it recurred again 2 years ago. And then it recurred again just this past summer. And so it's terminal now. My brother is also autistic and developmentally delayed. So the doctors were very surprised that he made it through the first round of chemo. And we were actually kind of convinced that it was the autism that kept him alive, because he didn't know to be afraid. You know, the emotional scale for someone who's autistic, of course, is modified when compared to, people who aren't autistic. And so he went through that, and then he went through some very traumatic surgeries. They removed all of the soft tissue in his pelvis about 4 years ago at Barnes Jewish, and they did a fantastic job with the surgery. We're so pleased with the care that we got there. And then this time it's just back, and all we can do is keep it at bay. And I actually am in an MFA writing program at Lindenwood University, and I wrote an essay about a creative nonfiction essay about the day that I found out John's cancer had come back after all of the soft tissue had been removed. And I submitted the essay, and it got picked up by a journal. And the local radio station here, KXEO, has a morning show, and they invited us out to talk on the morning show. And John had never been in a radio station. I was in radio for like 10 years after I got out of college. That's what I did. You know, I was the laughing girl on the morning show. They don't let women do a whole lot. They didn't back then. But and so we went out to the radio station, and John just fell in love with the idea of the microphone and the recording of the voice and hearing himself. And so, you know, he asked me, when can we go do that again? And it just kind of clicked in my head that, you know, we should do a podcast, because number one, it's fun. And number two, John loves talking into the microphone. And number three, you know, maybe there are other people that are going through this, or other people who have loved ones that are autistic and don't quite understand how to reach them, or, you know, what they can receive from them, the blessing, you know, the huge blessing that they can receive from them. And then also part of it was selfish, because I just wanted, John's voice and his memories to be something that I can keep. And this will last forever, you know? So it's keeping a little piece of him here with me, you know, when he goes, and touching as many lives as we can while he's here. That's it,
beautiful.
It's all for him.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You know, I think you described it as a legacy podcast, and that's very appropriate. You know, even your submission, you said, if that is such a thing, and I think you've invented it if it is not such a thing. Was that you, John, that came up with that?
No, he was very surprised Christmas morning when he opened up the microphones and then the little Zoom that we use, the Zoom 4 P4, you know.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we went through the first week, and I have some, like I said, background in radio, and I teach broadcasting at a high school. Okay. And so I figured out how to hook everything up. And then the next week on Saturday, that's when we record. The next week he came downstairs and he said, I've got everything hooked up. We can record now. And I was like, It just took one time. One time, he's quick like that. So
that is awesome.
Yeah.
So John, the microphones, the equipment, what else? What else do you love about podcasting?
Well, I think it's a blast.
He thinks it's fun. He enjoys it.
So. I enjoy it.
That's fantastic. Is there anything that you hate about podcasting? These are my standard questions. I'm not trying to challenge you.
Okay. There's nothing that I hate that I can see.
Okay. He hates the fact that it takes me so long to edit. He's ready for that. If that, when that podcast is recorded, it better be up the next day. So he is impatient.
Yeah. So let's talk about the editing process, you know, because that was something I did listen to an episode. You know, your editing was well done. I mean, I was wondering if you actually did edit it or if it was just, you know, a straight shot and you cleaned up the audio, so I'm gonna shut up and let you talk.
Okay. I edit and I work with at the school where I teach, we have old cameras, old microphones. So I always tell the kids, audio is everything. If you don't have your audio, then it doesn't matter how good your shot is. If it's garbled, then it's garbage. And so I've been editing since, oh my gosh, way back in the day. Remember when they had VCRs and you had to turn the dials?
Yep.
I've been editing since then. And it's something that I enjoy doing. And I always listen to the podcast before I listen to the interview. And if there's anything that needs to be trimmed, which was a big, that was kind of a big decision for me. Do I trim out the pauses and the stumbles and things like that? And 90% of the time I've just left them in because that's John.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So the editing process for me is, that's the fun part. I think that's fun because I love that. Well, it's like a power trip. You know what I mean? You're in charge of everybody's voice, you know, and what the world is going to hear. It's like a little dictatorship complex I have happening.
So I'm going to say, up to this point, at least, I'm trying to remember if somebody has told me that they like to edit. And I can only think of one other person. And that was Sam Mitchell, who is also a podcaster who has autism. He edits his own podcasts, but he is, you know, like, yeah, I love it, you know, so.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go ahead.
No, that's okay. You just work with it until you get it there. I mean, that's, you know, and that's the thing. You know exactly where it's supposed to be pleasing. You know, after being in radio, I learned how to, you know, bleach my voice so I didn't sound like I was from anywhere in particular. And, you know, John is very, you know, he's incredibly verbal and he has an excellent speaking voice, but, you know, I discovered, I think, when was it you started recording yourself commentating on football games?
When I was, you talking about the high school game?
Mm-hmm.
I think back when I first started the videography business.
Okay. So John ran a videography business actually back home in our hometown of Shelbyville. And he would video the ball games, the football games, and then he would add commentary. And he was a pro at it. He knew what the plays were. He knew what was coming up and what was happening. And so he's got a little bit of experience with that too. So we're actually, you know, two pros just trying to scoot in to the amateur.
The amount of audio that you capture versus what you end up inside of with an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask it differently, actually. So your episodes seem to run about 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the original audio are you leaving on the cutting room floor?
None.
None.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so you're not really, I mean, when you say you're editing, you're cleaning up audio.
I'm mastering, yeah.
Got it.
I'm trying
okay.
to master everything, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not, no, because, and like I said, that was a real pivotal point for me when I started this, and I posted it in a community and asked what people thought, and some were like, yes, edit it. Some were like, no, don't. And then I really thought about the reason why we're doing the podcast, and the reason why we're doing the podcast is not to sound super professional and not to blow anybody out of the water. This is something for me and the people who know John and maybe the people who don't know John to have forever and to say, you know, I learned that life is so precious just from 30 minutes of listening to this man talk about his very simple life that has had very extraordinary consequences. So
yeah, it's interesting to, you know, to hear you say that you don't want to blow anybody out of the water. I feel like that's very humble of you to say, because the project itself is mind blowing. You know, it's brave. It's extremely touching. And my mind was blown just from the one episode that I had listened to. So, I mean, it's incredibly important, and it's vital. Obviously for you as a family, you know, for a brother and sister, but I mean, yeah, it speaks to that love.
You know, the tradition of oral storytelling has been around since, I mean, it was before people could even write. That's how they communicated their histories to each other. And, you know, I tell my kids that you put it on tape and it's forever. You put it on the internet and it's forever. And you just can't not share, you know, what you have to say. And so, I'm using this as actually a part of my master's thesis. And there's a book, I'll have a book coming out with the same title that will be essays, creative nonfiction essays about, you know, John getting me in all kinds of trouble when we were kids, because nobody would ever believe that it was his idea to do the stuff. And I was the dumb one that did it. But it was his idea to put remember when you told me to put the ivory liquid in the swimming pool?
That was
It was like a cupcake. It had a little filter. Our uncles bought it for us. We were so excited. We had a real pool. He had convinced me we wouldn't have to take baths if we put the ivory liquid in the swimming pool. It went through the filter and it just looked like a huge cupcake. And, you know, nobody would believe me that was John's idea. They were like, Jamie, that's terrible. I'm like, no, it really was. It was John's idea.
That was the summer of 75.
That was the summer of 75. I was only 4 years old, and you threw me to the wolves.
And Jamie, you're younger than John. Is that correct? Yeah.
Okay. Yes. By 4 years.
Yeah.
Just 4 years.
I was just going into second grade then.
Yep. You were going into the second grade.
I think you were starting preschool.
I was. I went to Head Start. Yeah. So
I'm just, you know, I have two stepkids and a 4 year old. He's going to be 4 years old. So he's, you know, that age range is kind of right in that sweet spot what you're talking about right now. And I can see the older ones kind of saying, hey, do this.
Nobody would believe it. Would believe it. It's terrible that you would blame that on your brother. I'm like, but he got payback.
Yeah.
So
in terms of the podcast, I mean, I think you touched on this a little bit, but is there anything you're doing to promote it?
We have a Facebook page that we put up, and we have a lot of people that follow that Facebook page.
Okay.
We get it's on Buzzsprout, and then Buzzsprout sends it out to, like, we made it onto like the iPod or, you know, the Apple casting thing in Google. But I mean, that's not really the point of it. But yeah, I mean, when I have time, when I'm not working on the thesis along with the podcasts, because we have to do it every week. We have to do one a week. That's, you know, you've got to keep him happy because he's the star. And I think once I get the book kind of reined in, that, yeah, I'll probably promote it with a little bit more zest through social media platforms, possibly some search engine optimization, that kind of thing.
Is there anything that, you know, the podcasting community can, you know, do to help you guys out? Is there anything you need from... You know,
no, not really. We have everything that we need. We have I think we have a great setup for what we do. You know, we'll probably add another microphone because we've got old classmates of John calling or sending messages and saying they want to come on and talk to him and ask him if he remembers this and that. So we'll be probably adding a couple more microphones. But other than that, we're great.
That's great.
We're doing great. Yeah.
So I did listen. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was to say, just support us, listen, and, you know, and get encouraged from it. You know, that's what we want. We want people to hear it and be like, how can he have so much faith and happiness? And, you know, it's just that whole mindset of it's one day at a time, literally, for him. So it's just, we want people to be encouraged.
Yeah, that's amazing. I listened to episode 5. Our house is a very, very, very loud house.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the context of the podcast, it's, you know, it's intense. It's heavy. But I love just the funny moments. It's very personal, but it's also very relatable as well. I mean, I was, you know, feeling my sister, you know, she's 5 years older than me. And, you know, right? it just has that conducive, you know, it's about that love. Again, yeah. I'm going back to that, you know, and that shines through in the episode that I listened to. You know, the funny moments that stuck out for me was, you know, I think John was sharing, I think your kids were using the F word in the house, kind of outing them. I don't want to spoil the episode too, by the way. I do want people to, like, you know, listen in, obviously. And your reaction to John preferring, was it James?
Yes, for my
driving husband. Yeah, driving him to the doctor's appointments.
Yeah, they've become great buddies, haven't you?
I
have become, there's been a shift now. I used to be the caregiver, but now I'm the caretaker, which means I take away the privileges and James gives the care. So I'm always the bad guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, so John, is Jamie mean?
Tell the truth.
Yeah, sometimes.
You do a good job of, like, kind of writing that. You're very diplomatic, John, I'm going to say. You, even in the episode, you were...
He wants me to take him somewhere, probably, like ice cream or something like that. So he's going to be good.
Well, speaking of that, ice cream season will soon be coming up.
I know. Yes, yes. Oh. We love ice cream. Yeah. And there's back in our hometown, the best ice cream in the free world.
Where's that at?
And that's in Shelbyville, Missouri, Phillips Ice Cream Truck. They have a truck, they park it up by the old grocery store that used to be a restaurant that then was another restaurant and now has closed down. And I mean, they have the best ice cream in the world.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah, you gotta make a trip and try it. Worth the drive, definitely.
So tell me, how do you guys come up with the topics for your shows, the episodes, I mean?
Usually that's me. And I'll run it by John before, like on Friday, I'll say, hey, I'm thinking this week, maybe we'll talk about what it's like for you to live with us. Or, you know, the first episode was what did you love most about Shelbyville? Because that was the community. We've been so fortunate. I mean, there's no way I can express ever the compassion of the two communities where John has lived. Shelbyville, they raised him, you know, they grew this incredibly strong, courageous, brave, independent man, you know, and my mother was part of that community and she was active in the church there and they just loved him and they still love him so much. And then, you know, he moved to Mexico and he's in, tell him what you're involved in here in Mexico.
Mexico Optimist Club. I serve as the second vice president.
Wow. Very cool.
And also the Mexico Area Chamber of Commerce, where I serve as an ambassador.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot to take on.
It is. Yeah. But he wanted to be part of the community. I mean, how do you tell someone no?
Yeah.
When they say they want to be part of the community. And then he also helps out the football coaches at the high school where I teach and runs the end zone camera for the football games.
You are busy, John.
Yeah.
He is. He keeps himself busy.
So I mentioned this earlier, you know, the episodes are relatively short, you know, about 30 minutes. I'm assuming that's intentional. Is that, you know, do you have any intention of going longer? I'd love to hear more. No intention. Okay. Denied.
Well, I've had a couple people send me requests to do like two a week, but I think for John and the way that he verbalizes things and expresses himself, I feel like about an 18 to 20 minute interview with him. And then my filler at the beginning and my filler at the end that I write each week related to his content. I feel like that's the sweet spot for us, you know? So I don't want to push him. And, you know, some of the stuff sometimes is emotional and it's emotional, not so much for him, but for me. You know, I don't want to be that hysterical breakdown girl on the podcast. You know, I'd edit that out.
Well, let's talk about your intros and outros because your writing is just awesome. I mean,
thank you
it's
so much.
Beautiful. And it adds, I mean, it's already a great, you know, story, touching episode. And then the writing on top of it, it just is like this cherry on top of a cherry on top of the sundae.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's really beautiful. I'm curious. So I think you shoot on a Saturday, right? Saturday evenings, mm-hmm. is that right? And then John wants it to go up the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It has to go up the next day.
Yeah. I'm curious about the intros and outros that you write. Are you writing them after you do your recording session, or do you do it after? Okay.
Yes, I write after. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I write both the intro and the sig out after, usually. Always I do, because okay. I always find, I mean, I could try to write it before, but I'm afraid if I wrote it before, I would steer him, you know, toward what I want. And I don't want that. I want that authentic John in there. And so it's easier for me to write about the authentic John than it is for me to steer John to the fake Jamie. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, I listen to him and then I usually write the intro and the outro.
How long does that take you, can I ask?
Oh, you're gonna 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well,
it's hard to explain. It just comes. Yeah. And I've never been able to explain it. I started writing when I was 8. My grandmother and grandfather and mother always encouraged me to just write whatever, just write, just, and, you know, I told Mom when I was 8, I said, I want to be a writer. And she said, well, there's only one way to be a writer. And I'm like, I don't know how to get an agent. And she said, no, that's right. You write. To be a writer, you have to write. And so, you know, I'm almost 50 years old and I finally got my nerve up to enter an MFA program at Lindenwood. And, you know, that has been the best thing that I've ever done, because I've learned all of these different ways that I can write and express myself and help John express himself and hopefully reach other people and let them know that your story is worth telling. I mean, everybody has a story that's worth telling. Everybody.
Yeah. I mean, that's the perfect segue into this next question. And I feel like we've touched on it. You've answered it, you know, a little bit in here, but I do want to give you the opportunity to just encapsulate it in a moment right now. And that is, what do you want people to get out of listening to your show? Why should they listen to your podcast?
Well, because we grew up in the 70s and the early 80s when autism was something that doctors didn't understand. And John went through a lot because of that. And it made him, instead of making him weaker, it made him and my mother, who was a single parent, it made them so strong. And I think that John, my mom used to always say that John doesn't need a purpose because he is the purpose. And I never understood what she meant until I really watched him live. I mean, breath in, breath out, breath in, breath out. That is his rhythm of life. No worrying, you know, it's not worth worrying. He just lives and enjoys everything. I mean, even like the rough stuff, like when the dog runs off or, you know, some little crisis like that, we always look back and we laugh. And so I think what I want people to understand is that it doesn't matter who you are and it doesn't matter how the world has labeled you, you are a person of impact. I mean, John is a walking ministry. And so how could I not, you know, how could I not share him mm-hmm. with the world? So that's why we do it.
I believe you say that in your outro as well, you know, sharing John with the world. And mm-hmm. it is such a gift. I do want to ask this other question. This is something that I generally ask podcasters. In the context of your podcast, this might be a little bit, it might be tough, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Let's get into a time machine and, you know, go 1 or 2 years down the road here. What are your hopes for, you know, the podcast?
Well, I hope that John is still here so that we can do it. And I hope that if he's not, that thousands of people listen to it every day just to get that inspiration. And I hope the book will tie in well with the podcast. And the hope for the podcast is the exact same hope that it was when we started, that there'll be something there to mark this, you know, monumental life that was a part of this earth that maybe some people would have viewed as small or minuscule, but you, when you know him and you live with him, you can't live like that anymore. So that's what I hope for the podcast, that it really gets the point across that everything is beautiful and there's glory in everything. You just have to find it. So
I think you're pulling that off right now.
Well, thank you.
This is a little bit of a silly segment that I've been throwing in, but I think it's fun. And I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. If your podcast gets developed into a movie, who will play the leading roles?
Probably me.
You would play yourself?
I don't know.
You're so brave. Oh my gosh. Okay. Who would play me?
How about a celebrity, John? Is there somebody famous or somebody you look up to that you would want to play you in a movie?
Can't think of anybody offhand.
I think Kevin Costner could play my brother.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's some good casting.
I really do. Yeah. And then me, I don't know. I like Scarlett Johansson.
Jamie and John, tell us where people can learn more about you and your podcast.
They can check us out on Facebook. We have a Facebook page that's called A Long Time Going Podcast. Just all you got to do is plug it into the search and it'll come right up. And you'll see some of the photos that we had done. One of the things that I wanted to do was, and it was really weird for John, but I think he understood what I was getting at. The cover, our podcast cover or icon, whatever they call it, is a photo of me, half of my face with John, you know, in the background. And we had a friend of ours, David Pickering, do a whole set of photos where we tried to encompass in photos what it was like, what it has been like for us. So there are pictures of me standing behind John and just bending over and screaming at the top of my lungs. There's photos that are, you know, of he and I, when we were little kids, we used to put our foreheads together because I thought I could read his mind, you know, because he wasn't real communicative back then. You know, he hummed, and when he was humming high, that meant he was happy. And when he was humming low, that meant he was sad. And so it was just, you know, I've forgotten the question.
Where can people find out more about you and your show?
This is why I'm bad at self-promotion. Okay. So Facebook, A Long Time Going Podcast, or they could check it out on Buzzsprout, alongtimegoing.buzzsprout.com right now. And it's also on Google Podcasts, Apple, Spotify. And then there's a couple of others that I'm not real familiar with, because to be honest, we just kind of record it and put it out there.
Yeah. I would love to keep in touch and maybe catch up 6 months down the road, see how things are going. Maybe even do another interview if that's all right with you guys.
Oh yeah, sure. That'd be fine.
The name of the show is A Long Time Going. Incredible podcast. I wish the very best for both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We will take that. We're blessed every day. Every day.
Thanks again to Jamie and John. Check the show notes for links to learn more about the A Long Time Going podcast. And please leave a review on podchaser.com to let me know what you got out of this episode. Check the show notes for this and feel free to make suggestions for what I can do to make this show even better for you. And remember to subscribe and follow Podcast Tactics to learn even more about podcasting in future episodes. Thank you.